You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome. Second half of the show is live, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but it's been a pretty entertaining couple of hours. We'll detail that more in a few minutes. Rusty is our first caller of the third hour. Hello, Rusty.
Hello, Paul. First time caller.
Wonderful. Thank you. With you.
I was trying to call you yesterday. I was on hold for 2 hours. My buddy, he had me called WTUK 105.1. And those guys counseled me a little bit. But
okay. Well, we're here to help.
Kentucky basketball and football. I think I'll start with the basketball first. I mean, I think Calipari, this team is the most exciting team we've had in a few years. And I think it's Elite Eight or pay Calipari. It's Elite Eight or bust for Calipari, in my opinion. I think he needs to quit switching his lineups around so much. I think he needs to start Reed, Shepherd, Dillingham, Sierra, and Oklahoma, and sub with Mitchell, Wagner, and Edwards.
Okay.
And I think Shepard, I think that boy can play a whole game without drinking water. So you ain't going to have to sub for him.
Okay.
So I think Cal, he should have two or three more championships at Kentucky. And I think the reason he doesn't is because he's selling these players to the NBA. He's got better players that's ready now on the bench. Get these lottery guys out. I mean, these guys are going to be better later on in down the road in the NBA, but right now we want championships. You agree with me on this?
Yeah, no,
that?
I mean, listen, let's start with the most obvious 2015. That was coaching malpractice to lose to Wisconsin and not win that title. There's a couple of other years. I can't remember the year he lost to North Carolina in the Elite Eight. That was a team that could have won. There's two or three other teams that probably could have won.
Yes, sir. And this year he's switching that lineup around so much. I just think they can't, you know, they just can't get it going. I think people just play those players I named and then just use the other ones as subs. I think we might go far.
Yeah, you know, there's things about Cal that you have to like, but I mean, I really, I don't know, this is minor, not talking about, I really didn't like what he said the other night after, he's got the biggest win of the year, celebrate the win. He immediately starts off on the defensive. You know, I mean, he's in Auburn, Alabama, and he's lecturing the media there about, you know, don't blame these kids. You just won the biggest game of the year. But Cal can't get out of his own way.
Yes, sir. That's exactly. I'd say it's Elite Eight or bust for him this year. I mean, we give him chance after chance, and all he's doing is selling his play. He's got a player. He's got a couple players on there this year.
What surprised me though, Rusty, and I'm not an expert on Kentucky, but I was up there twice this year in a fairly short period of time. So you talk to people, you go out, you go to restaurants, you hear, and everyone appreciates what he's done. I don't need to say that 1,000 times. But there is a tune out to Cal, and that could be because he's been there so long, or the fact that he just is over the top. But I felt a disconnect being up there a couple of times this year.
Well, yes, sir, I agree 100%. That's why I say this year he needs to, you know, we need to get what we're paying for. You know, he needs to put product.
I mean, you have to ask the question, Rusty. What would Nate Oates do with that talent? What would Eric Musselman do with that talent? And I could give you five or six other coaches, but those guys are proven coaches in the NCAA. Hey, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's move along. Logan is up next.
Hey, Paul. Awesome show today, man. I can't believe that guy had the opportunity to interview Jim. And he blew it, man. He should have cross-examined him like a district attorney. Should have asked him all those questions. I would have a million questions for Jim. I would have been a great interviewer,
well, see,
I think.
You know what happened in that? I mean, I was trying to help the young man. I gave him an opportunity to interview me. He obviously did not want to. He didn't think that would help him.
Right.
So I looked down, and there was Jim, and I'm thinking, you're about to interview the most famous caller in the show's history. And
man.
I felt like he wasn't ready for it, but you're never ready in this industry. So I did think his take on UConn basketball, though, was very well thought out.
It was pretty good. I mean, it kind of sounded like a second-tier sports show, but it wasn't
yeah,
that
no,
bad.
He's had a couple of offers coming in from the ACC network.
Exactly. I think he would fit right in there with old Packer and Packy, whatever his name is.
Pac-Man.
He could get right on that show. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, great show. I just can't believe, like, I was like, man, the opportunity to interview Jim. I mean,
you know what it reminds you of? I mean, we've all been there, Logan. We've all had that moment in time when we had the chance and we didn't take it. It could have been personal, you know, maybe – back in the day, it could have been a job opportunity. It could have been a relationship. Yep. I mean, you ever thought about that, Randy? The one that you could, you know, professionally, I feel like there's always that moment when maybe you should have gone up to the boss. Maybe you should have walked up to the head of the company. Maybe you should have asked for more. And he'll learn. He's a young kid. He's in college. And he will not forget today because we'll be replaying that a thousand times.
You gave him some great experience, Paul. I mean, he'll never get that. You can't get that kind of experience anywhere in college.
That happened to me. My first, I'd only been at ESPN a couple of weeks, and I was up at ESPN headquarters during, we had all the SEC coaches up there, and I was interviewing Les Miles, and...
Oh, wow.
There's something about being in the same room with Les Miles that you do forget where you are, because you can't stop laughing.
Oh, yeah, I can laugh.
And... I asked him a couple of questions, and we were taping. It wasn't live. And I finally just said, okay, we're done, because it was not interesting. And one of my bosses told me, he said, you should have asked him more questions. I'm like, okay, well. But it was always a good lesson. There's no such thing as a bad question, even to a cartoon character like Les Miles.
Well, I think you have a good read on that, Paul. I mean, you remember when he was on, wasn't he on TV for a while? I mean, who the
Les,
hell
yeah, he did he did try TV.
That, I mean, he was the most boring. I don't know who hired that guy. That was a joke.
But I always believe in I mean, you also just sometimes it's instinct when you're talking to somebody. I mean, we've had some very famous people on this show before, and you just know that they're not interested in talking to you, and you finally wrap it up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what about that interview with Tex the other day? That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, if you missed it yesterday, we got a call from Randall Tex Cobb. Now, if you're under a certain age, you probably have no earthly idea who this guy was. In the 1980s, he fought for the heavyweight championship of the world, which doesn't sound like much anymore, but at the time it was a big deal. He called to complain about the way he was treated at a gym. He said he got his jaw broken. I mean, as he's talking, I'm like going, why are you at Joe Frazier's gym? And it turned out he was calling us. This guy was a very well-known boxer, then he later became an actor.
That was fascinating, and I mean, he really skirted the line of what you guys could. I could tell you.
Yeah, no, he was willing to go. He was about to go scorched earth on the border crisis.
Yeah, and, I think so.
I feel like we have enough people commenting on that every day, especially in Texas with Governor Abbott.
Right. Well, you did the great job. You held him back, but he was I thought he was about to go score short there for a second, and but that was amazing. But I just want to say I want to come to the defense of Susie. I think she had some great points yesterday. She's just trying to give the kids some good advice. I mean, I don't think she was trying to be critical or
no. I thought Susie came from her heart was in the right place. A lot of people didn't like it because she criticized a young guy. Let's what am I doing here? Tommy is up next. Tommy, can you hear me?
Sure, Paul. I've been hearing you for the last 2.5 hours now, or 2 hours and 14 minutes.
Well, thanks for being patient.
About ready to hang up. Well, I figured y'all must not want to talk sports, and then after
we do now.
Thing, I realize y'all don't want to talk sports. So, I'll just make a few statements. You know,
okay.
But yeah.
Take your time.
Jim. Yeah. Certainly, Jim. He's a jackass.
Okay.
The boy from Colorado, Bash, he's a dumbass.
Now help me with something, Tommy. You said you're in Pennsylvania?
I was. I'm still in Pennsylvania.
Help me with this. Randy, do you agree with me? I need to know. I used to be a writer. And as a writer, you're always trying to come up with different ways to describe something. So I'm reading a book, I'm reading an article, and I don't know the word, so I'm always looking it up. I need to know this, Tommy. The difference between a dumbass and a jackass.
Well, a jackass is easy. You know, he runs around all the time, kicking around and talking trash. That he doesn't know a damn thing he's talking about usually, and a dumbass just doesn't know anything.
Okay. I'm glad we had this chance to talk because, I think a dumbass sounds like a much more severe criticism.
Well, it.
So wouldn't you more than likely say that guy's a jackass, and then you would go, he's just a dumbass. I mean, that's the ultimate put down.
Well, you know, Bash, he's always coming in with something. I don't know what his point is.
The thing about Bash, it rhymes with the other two words, in case you're doing a song.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I could throw Daryl in there and just call him a kiss ass, after his little talk today.
We got three definitions of that word. Are there any other ones? Kiss.
I guess
we got kiss, dumb, and jack.
Up,
smart. Being a smart ass is not that much of a. That's. I mean, I've been called that all my life.
Well, you have been most of your life. I've been listening to you since you was at the little radio station up on top of the hill that didn't have enough airwaves to make it cross the interstate before it fell on the ground.
Right. So. Now the word hard, that's more of a compliment, isn't it? He's just my boss, he's just yeah.
Well.
What else we got here? As long as we're doing the punk, a Webster's Dictionary of a simple word. It's in the Bible, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, I know. You can find a lot to put on it. You know, when I try to go further than that, my wife's a school teacher.
Yeah.
Like Miss Susie, I just ask her.
So what does your wife teach?
She teaches handicapped children, which you can't say that anymore. I forget what the word is.
Special
now.
Needs. Special needs.
Special needs. Yeah.
Yeah, we got all those words down here.
Yeah. Got them all written down. Yeah. They've been called a lot of things through my life.
What does she teach us? General? Elementary?
Well, she started about elementary level in fourth and fifth grades, and she finished in high school, which has gotten ridiculous after the what, the Obamas or whoever. No, it was Bush, the No Child Left Behind.
Oh, yeah. Was that Obama, No Child Left Behind, or Bush?
No, that was Bush,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, that now, so they're just hopped up babysitters till they
Well, President Bush felt like he didn't want anybody to have to deal with the same issues that he did.
Yeah. I'm sure he had so many, the family he come from.
Yeah, he's a funny guy, according to some of my friends who used to work for him.
He may have been.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've had various friends in Washington, but he is like the one guy that everybody comes out and says, man, he was so much fun talking about baseball. not about Iraq or Afghanistan, but about baseball.
The baseball.
He was so much fun when we watched the Rangers game together. Hey, listen, I hate to run here, Tommy. Appreciate the call. I'm glad you could hear us. I hope you could see us. We will be right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back here as we work our way through a Tuesday afternoon. What an afternoon this has been. Thank you for all for being here. And Elliot is in Ohio, and you're next up.
Paul, I wanted to bring this back to the CFP playoffs. That's the big news this week, right?
Yes, sir.
And how does the Pac-2 get into this playoff? They're playing the Mountain West. It's kind of like I-Man is the Mountain West of the SEC. It's just this lower-rated team that he roots for that plays all these teams in the SEC just to give him somebody to play.
Well, it is absurd, but I'm not sure. Now they have to. Now, I am confused on that question. I'm glad you brought it up. We're talking about the Power Five now, and they're not really in the Power Five. So, what is the requirement? Is the Mountain West now going to qualify or not? Somebody help me with that.
Exactly. If they beat the crap out of Oklahoma State and Washington State, do they get in the playoff?
I don't know that answer, but I'm about to find out because that is absurd if it's true. But it's also I know that they're going to share in the revenues. I think that's as far as it goes. I mean, if the winner of the Mountain West is not significantly ranked, and then I don't think they're going to get in. There's no way they will be.
Do you agree that I-Man's like the Mountain West of the Paul Feinbaum callers?
I mean, the big thing you're going to hear about today and tomorrow is Notre Dame getting screwed. If Notre Dame is 12-0, and because they don't play in a conference championship game, I don't really care. To me, they've had every opportunity to get into a league, and they refuse to do it, so they're going to have to sit it out.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I like their decision yesterday. They needed to rethink that a little bit.
Remember, this is for 2 years. They had to – I'm not defending them to the degree that I think it's great either, but they had to come up – they had to get a plan. I mean, it's February already.
Right. Bringing it back to sports, Paul. Just bringing it back to sports.
I'm glad you did. That was a very, very good, very good call there. Made so much sense. Let's stay in Ohio. Okay. Columbus, Toledo, J-Bear is up next.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just have a couple things. Number one, on John Calipari, he needs to go. We've had the most embarrassing losses under him. And in my opinion, his X and O's are not that good. Now, he's a hell of a recruiter.
Yeah, he is.
But he's, you know what I mean? But his X and O's just don't get it.
Well, you know, I think you're right about that. I mean, he has been outcoached by too many people. And ultimately, it's a different game now. And, you know, the one and done is just look at last year. You had real teams competing in the Final Four, not one and doneers.
Right.
Has anybody ever had two better players on their starting lineup? Maybe somebody has, but then Duke did a couple of years ago with Zion Williamson, and they couldn't get out. They couldn't get to the Final Four.
Yeah, no, but I mean with Calipari, his X and O's, he just don't seem to go, and he don't seem to how to make changes during the game and stuff. That, you know, when things are going bad for his team or whatever.
He's not adaptable, and that's what college basketball. Yeah, recruiting is great, but if you're in the NCAA tournament and you're down by three, you've got to make adjustments, and I think that's where John is failing.
Yeah, I do too. That's why I think he needs to go. And my other question, Paul, is they say the top in the CFB, the top Power Five conference winner gets. I only come up with four Power Five.
Yeah, I am. I'm working on that, and I don't believe. I'm just going to calm down here before I need to get some clarification before I offer an opinion. Jay Bear, thank you very very much. Really good to hear from you. And John is up next from St. Louis.
Hey, Paul, how are you today, sir?
John, appreciate your calling.
Yeah, Paul, I want to have a serious conversation today just to remind all the fans of the show and that, you know, it still is Black History Month. And when I had a lot of respect in my early years for the Kansas City Chiefs and specifically for some of their players like Buck Buchanan and Willie Lanier and Bobby Bell. Those guys were just super. And you know, there's a good story to tell about the Buck Buchanan, how he came out of Grambling and the Eddie Robinson program.
Absolutely.
And I tell you what, I still have to keep reminding myself when I go back and I look online about all of the players that came out of Grambling in Southern University and Little Bishop College down there in Texas. It's just amazing about how the NFL filled the ranks and starting really back in, I guess it was the 50s when I started following football. And really the AFL, you know, that was the thing about the American Football League, Paul, that, you know, they were very open to having the African-American players come into the league. And they excelled, and that was one of the reasons the Chiefs and the Raiders and the Jets were very, very successful in the late 60s. I don't know if you have any opinion about that, but I just want to share that.
Yeah, John, I don't want to repeat things I've said in the past, but you may have heard me talk about covering Grambling in my first job and getting to know Eddie Robinson. And it remains, to this day, one of the most poignant moments of my career, being around him and being able to talk to him on a regular basis, which I did and continued to much after even after he retired. I'm glad you said that, though, because
one more thing I wanted to add, though, Paul, that I have to say that I'm not 100% sure that this has not been done, but I really don't know why the NFL, we haven't, in the Super Bowl, we haven't really recognized Mr. Robinson. And I'm not trying to be, you know, kind of silly about that. But I can't remember if they haven't had some kind of commemoration.
Well, I don't know,
but
I do know when Doug Williams quarterbacked the Redskins, yes. There was a lot made out of that because right. Doug was one of his most successful players. He had a number of them. But I'm glad you brought that up. It's always worth talking about.
It really is, Paul. And seriously, good night and good luck.
Thank you, John. How about that? A good John call. It's good John day here on Tuesday. We'll be right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
How about this game tonight? Tennessee, one of the top teams in America, heads to Columbia, Missouri. We'll have it for you at 7 p.m. So we changed gears here and talked to a good friend of ours who had an announcement. Gene Sapikoff, who been the lead columnist, sports columnist in Charleston, announced 38 years he is leaving his position. And we are among those who are sad to hear this news. Happy for Gene and his family. But Gene, thank you for joining us. I guess I'm not very smart because I didn't see this coming. Good afternoon, and tell us all about it.
Thanks so much, Paul, for all you've done for me over the years and for this ridiculously unnecessary segment on your program. But I do have to say, all modesty aside, why didn't your producer, Danny Bramlett, get an oatmeal sponsor for this? I really don't know what happened there.
We're putting some of the accolades on the board. Eight-time South Carolina Sports Writer of the Year, three-time Judson Chapman Award winner, in an all-time Hall of Famer on the Feinbaum Show. Gene, I know you've thought about this for a while, but what finally brought you to this Nick Saban-like moment in South Carolina?
Okay, Paul, so 38 great years at the Charleston tape of the Post and Courier from January of 86 to a few weeks ago, and I didn't want it to be one of those sue me if I play too long, the great Steely Dan lyric.
Oh, yeah.
So I spent all of January during a service project in Israel, and that also made me really think that I want to do, you know, more stepping up the charity stuff, and the timing just seemed right. And then this is a really weird thing, Paul, that happened. While I was in Israel, Shane Beamer at South Carolina hires this guy, Joe DeCamillis, to be his special teams coach. Joe DeCamillis' dad, Tony DeCamillis, was my middle school career development teacher who came up to me and said, I know you have no idea what to do in this class project, but you like sports and you like writing. Why don't you look into being a sports writer? And why don't you call downtown Denver and see if Woody Page will take your call? And I know Woody's from Memphis and Tennessee like you. And so, yeah, he did. And here I am on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
This is about you, not me. But as a young fledgling reporter at the University of Tennessee School Paper, the sports information director at the time, Haywood Harris, legendary guy, said to a friend of mine, this guy Feinbaum, I never thought we would have a worse one than Woody Page at the Daily Beacon, but he has surpassed Woody among the most disliked person we've ever had to deal with. So that was the beginning of my career. Woody, you and I have Woody in common.
I'm proud of that personally. Yeah, he was great to me. He would be very patient answering my extremely stupid question.
Well, Gene, the good news for you is most people in that profession are usually shown the door because the paper goes under. You were fortunate in that regard.
Yeah, no, that's true. There's no doubt about it. And I mean, people that we both know and some really close friends of mine, columnists especially in South Carolina, didn't get this chance to go out on their own. But as far as the Charleston paper goes, you know, it's in really good hands with Jeff Hartzell starring as our sports editor. And Paul, we've got really good beat writers, like award-winning beat writers, David Kloniger covering South Carolina and John Blau covering Clemson. So I think our readers are just in really good hands here.
I want to pause here for a second because you mentioned Israel, and we communicated a couple weeks ago when I read your piece. So I want you to explain, right at a time when very few people are just going to Israel for anything other than serious work, tell the audience what you did.
Okay, well, I'm not Jewish, but I have a lot of Jews in my family. Grew up in a Jewish neighborhood in Denver, Colorado, in which Golda Meir, the future prime minister of Israel, actually went to the same high school that I did. Not at the same time, but, you know, she went to the same high school. Anyway, it was amazing, sad, thrilling, and horrible. I served in what's called the SAR-EL program, S-A-R-E-L. That means Service to Israel in Hebrew. And it's as a volunteer on four separate IDF army bases over four different weeks all over Israel, doing very menial tasks that reservists usually do, just fascinating stuff like folding sleeping bags, putting together medical kits, food boxes, and cleaning tank parts, stuff like that. And I really went out of my way, Paul, in my off time to spend as many shekels as I could in, like, Arab pockets of Israel that I could go to, because those Arab pockets right now are the hardest hit by a complete lack of tourism in Israel right now.
Yeah, and listen, Gene, it's we see it every day on the news. But as a journalist, as somebody who thinks like that, what were your impressions from what you saw firsthand?
Well, you know, I didn't go to Gaza, but I will say this. Surprisingly to me, I was 10 miles from Gaza. I saw the smoke plumes and the skyline and was woken up at 2:05 by weird, loud explosions, and the Israeli jets were going over all the time. Very conflicted. And I'll tell you what, the IDF soldiers that are conflicted at times. I was in a desert Bedouin camp to spend a couple of weeks. That's where they put us. And the combat soldiers would come in and immediately gather in groups of 10 or 12 around a psychologist and kind of go over the events of the day. And I wrote about this in the Post and Courier, but it was fascinating to me. And, you know, obviously a lot of sympathy for what's going on the other side there. And it's just an interestingly difficult, tragic time in Israel and, of course, in Gaza and in Lebanon.
And Gene, often when this country is at war and those times that it has, it usually everybody coalesces around the government, but that is not exactly the case in Israel right now, is it?
Well, it's a tough thing. I mean, the bring them home now thing, and that's quote unquote, is just a huge movement to get the hostages. There is tremendous support for the idea throughout Israel, the very high percentage, over 80, maybe it's over 90. But those two things, you know, IDF and bring them home now, are not the same thing. And it's as so many things in Israel going back to in that land, going back to David v. Goliath, it's very complicated.
Gene, as you walk away from this job you've had for 38 years, what I'm asking for a friend, what goes through your mind?
I've been so fortunate to be around Dabo Swinney, Steve Spurrier, Don Staley, Shane Beamer, Ray Tanner, Lou Holtz, College of Charleston's legendary basketball coach. They had this guy, Paul John Kress, for so long. And wow. You know, I was just so lucky, but, you know, as a journalist, I really liked the stories of, like, the underdogs. And one that just comes to mind now is the late Rebecca Vec. She was the daughter of Charleston River Dogs owner and general manager Mike Vec. And there's a really great Netflix doc about her on right now. And just those kind of stories, the underdog stories that people didn't know anything about. And you're the first person to report on these kind of things. That's what I liked inside and outside of college athletics.
The proverbial question that everybody gets, even though it's very prosaic. So what are you going to do now, Gene?
Well, I've got a couple opportunities that I'm looking at, one in journalism, one outside, another like a book writing project that's, you know, sort of in development. So really can't say too much about that. And then, like okay. I said, Paul, I really would like to do some more service projects.
Well, there's a talk show that needs a good needs a good historian to write about in case you ever run out of things. Gene.
Again, Paul, I've told you this in person, but thanks for everything you've done for me. You have no idea what it's meant to me and my family.
Well, I want to thank you. Even though I don't do what you have just stopped doing, I respect immensely the work of you, and especially you know, your newspaper that or whatever they call these things nowadays. The fact that you have been able to do it with such distinction for so long, you are really a credit to that profession, which unfortunately is often, if not always, vilified. So thank you, Gene, from all of us here for being a friend, and we look forward to seeing you very soon.
Thanks so much, Paul.
Gene Sabikoff, 38 years. As a sports writer and most recently a sports columnist in Charleston. We take a short break, and we are back after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yes, we have quite an evening scheduled on Thursday. Number one team in the country, Alabama, heads to South Carolina, and then Auburn goes down to play the defending national champs. And we continue right now and talk to Jack, who is in Savannah. Hello, Jack.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how you doing, sir?
You're doing great, thank you, Jack.
I got a couple of statements. First one is, that gym for Tuscaloosa, he's just a bully, man. And I sit there and watch every day. He gets on, and if you say anything that he don't like, then he quit. Then he come back. Then he quit. Then he come back. So, Paul, I want to know one thing. Is he kin to you at all?
No, I am not related to Jim, nor have I ever met Jim.
Oh, well, thank God on both of those cows, because he got some issues going on with him. And my second statement is, like, I love that little kid Dominic calls, all right? I really do. But he don't need to do the Andrew Dice Clay. I'm my age, you know what I mean? Joke at the end, you know what I mean? Because he's good enough just to stand on that alone. So Paul, I don't know if you know this other little kid. His name is Jeremiah Pennell, and he's the one that do the interviews.
Was he the one at the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. I saw something on him today. He's hilarious.
Dominic could be that person. You know what I mean? And I think Jeremiah, I think he's 11 years old, all right?
Yeah, that's
really,
correct.
Jim really got me going today, man. It's like, he's just a damn, I'm sorry, he's
okay.
Just a bully. And it irritates me that he want to put up the front of Christ, and he doesn't even act like Christ-like to me. Like I said, I don't know the man. I don't know his heart, but all I do is tell what's coming out of his mouth. Paul, you have a great day. Randy, thank you for letting me get on, and y'all be blessed.
Thank you very much, Jack. Randy, thank you. Is that okay with you? Okay, I'd love to respond to that, but we are bumping up against the end of the hour. We'll recap, reload, and keep going in the final hour right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.